Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome back, gamers, to Budget Arcade, your number one free-to-play and budget game review podcast in the world. That's a bit, it's a bit new. It's a new spiel for me, is because we the podcast recently underwent a bit of a revamp, and we have expanded our operations to not only include free-to-play games, but also indie budget titles across all platforms. So we are still Budget Arcade, except we're not exclusive to the free-to-play market anymore. And so I hope you'll stick with us and join us as we review some budgetary titles that may cost you a couple bucks, but hopefully you're not spending too much money on these titles that we review. In these off weeks that where we don't review a game, I typically go it alone, and I bring you either some video game news or so the video game release calendar for what's coming up, or I'll share what I've been playing and let you know if it's any good or not. And this episode, I'm going to review the Uncharted movie that just came out a couple weeks ago. I went and saw that, and you know, my thoughts on the movie prior to seeing it are well documented here. And then afterwards, I'm going to review Dying Light 2: Stay Human, the video game, the highly anticipated sequel to the 2015 hit Dying Light. So stick around and we'll get that going here very shortly.
Hey, kid. A little young for a bartender, aren't you?
A little old for prom, aren't you?
Of everything in here, why the map?
It's the biggest treasure that's never been found.
5 billion easy.
But it's just a story.
I beg to differ.
Years ago... my family found the world's biggest fortune, then was betrayed. People have been searching for it all in vain.
Both of you turn your keys clockwise at the same time.
Thanks a lot. You almost got me killed.
Clockwise, Sully!
Well, it was 50-50, so I made a guess.
Clearly.
But the voyage was not just about gold. It was something much more valuable.
This girl has a very tragic history. So much blood.
I'm pretty sure he just threatened to kill me.
Oh, this is gonna suck!
Don't get caught.
You were just gonna leave me back there.
Somebody had to get the cross.
My brother believed that there was a final piece.
Well, you know my brother's sick.
You have no idea who you partnered with.
What else aren't you telling me?
The victor
is Boyle's.
How are they going to get them out of here?
Down, boys.
What is that thing on your face?
Yeah, puberty's right around the corner, kid. You can grow your own.
So I went and saw Uncharted. I paid money. Even though I said I wouldn't, I paid money. My kid wanted to go see it. She loves Tom Holland. So we went and saw it. Had a matinee. Went on President's Day. And I wasn't anticipating getting, you know, too high or too low on the movie. I know what it's attempting to do. It's supposed to be a fun romp. It's another franchise vehicle for Tom Holland, which he's bankable right now. He's coming fresh off Spider-Man No Way Home, and which moved into like the top three highest grossing movies of all time here recently, and is getting ready to go to streaming. And He's a megastar right now, and so the film is directed by Ruben Fleischer, and stars Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg and Antonio Banderas. And so the film, it starts off with a bang. It's the plane scene from where Nathan Drake is hanging upside down, you know, attached to one of these crates hanging out of the back of the plane. And it's straight out of, I think it was, I forget if it was the first Uncharted or Uncharted 3. I don't know. Anyways, it's a scene straight out of the video game. And, you know, we first meet Tom Holland's Nathan Drake character. And the movie is an origin story for Nathan Drake. And so we're getting very young Nathan Drake, and we never got that Nathan Drake in the video games. But I thought Tom Holland is fine as Nathan Drake. He's witty. I think that's one of his big traits as an actor, is that he is he can be kind of deadpan funny, and he's quick-witted. And so the delivery of lines that are meant to poke fun or be funny, he's well equipped to do that, and he's quickly becoming an action star. And this Nathan Drake role for him showcases him as an action star, more so I think than in the Spider-Man movies, just because Tom Holland in the Spider-Man movies, we're seeing his action scenes mostly as Spider-Man. And so is it really Tom Holland in the suit? Is it are most of his action scenes CG? So we never really get to see Tom Holland the actor be Tom Holland the actor instead of in a suit in the Spider-Man movies. So here in this film, Uncharted, we get to see Tom Holland showcase his stunt work, and, you know, him as a front man while also being an action star. And so he's playing opposite Mark Wahlberg's Sully character, and Mark Wahlberg plays a very young Sully, an experienced treasure thief. And their dynamic, once the two of them are introduced, and it's a quick introduction, and it doesn't really need to be more fleshed out than what it was. And I've seen critiques about how the movie was written. And while, yes, I do have critiques about, in totality, how the movie plays out, I think one of the stronger aspects of the film is Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg's on-screen, connection. They are they are well suited to play opposite each other. And the movie's best scenes come when Mark Wahlberg and Tom Holland are on screen together in a bind, and they got to work out of it. And that is the movie. That's, you know, there are other aspects of the movie where, you know, we get Tom Holland and the actress playing Chloe. And I forget her name right off the top of my head. But she, Sophia Ali, she plays Chloe Frazier. And she's the main, love interest female in the movie. We get a lot of scenes with Tom Holland and Sophia Ali sharing screen, and there is a connection there. But the film is full of, you know, people not trusting each other. Like Tom Holland, Mark Wahlberg, and Sophia Ali spend a lot of time in the first two acts of the movie together, and nobody trusts each other. And we find out that they're all kind of just using each other to get to where they need to go, while also hunting for some treasure and, going globe hopping, you know. And then we're introduced to Antonio Banderas' character, who plays the villain, Santiago Moncada, who is a very rich man, left his father's wealth. And he has a right-hand person who is Braddock, who is out of the games, and she's played by Tati Gabrielle, who you may or may not have seen in the latest season of the Netflix hit show You. And so they're all very capable in this film, and the film is brisk. It moves quickly. It's not a short movie at all. It's 2 hours long, but it never feels long. There's a ton of action sequences, which is great, because other than Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg's chemistry, there's nothing really to write home about as far as the acting goes in this movie. But Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg are very capable of carrying scenes by themselves, that when we get the two of them together, it's almost a bonus. And because they're on screen a lot in this movie, the movie is, by design, better than it should be. And it's because the screenplay is not really that good. Ruben Fleischer is not a good director, in my opinion. And like I've said before, Sony just knows that they can throw money at Ruben Fleischer and he'll do an okay job with it. But the movie is just, you know, globe hopping, searching for treasure, witty one-liners, and, you know, some emotional depth. Tom Holland's Nathan Drake character is searching for his lost brother, and he's told by Mark Wahlberg that his brother, has died. And we get, that's kind of a similar storyline from the games. And if you played Uncharted 4, you know that, you know, his brother's not really dead. But, and that still remains to be seen here. Is his brother dead? I don't know. But, the finale of the film, where they find the treasure, is a giant CG fest, but it's enjoyable. It's a bit of practical stuff mixed in with CG, and it encompasses a good probably 25 minutes of the film, and I feel like you get your money's worth out of this film. It's not great. It's certainly not, on par with an Indiana Jones or even a National Treasure. It's been a while since we've gotten a treasure hunter movie like this. And because it involves two of Hollywood's bigger stars in Mark Wahlberg and Tom Holland, it's worth seeing. Even if you're not going to really remember much from it after you see it, it's still a 2-hour, entertainment fest where, you're seeing two likable dudes play characters that you probably know. And I'm excited to see and the movie made a good chunk of money within its first week. So the 3-day opening for Uncharted was $44 million, and then if you include the President's Day holiday, which was on that following Monday, it grossed domestically $51 million. And so worldwide, it's made $154 million. And I don't see how much it cost, like what the actual budget was. But, I mean, it's probably pretty hefty. All right, so the estimated budget for Uncharted is $120 million. And it's outperformed its budget. It's got $154 million worldwide. It'll probably end up somewhere closer to $175 to $200 million by the time it goes to streaming. And so it's going to get a sequel. There's no doubt it's going to get a sequel. It's probably going to get more than one sequel. And that's exciting. It does have the movie does have some post-credit scenes that kind of showcase which direction the franchise is going to go from here. But if you haven't seen it, I do encourage you to see it. It's because, we're here at the end of February. By the time you're listening to this, it'll be March. And so we're going to get into some big release films. And this is a big release for Sony. It is absolutely one of their bigger films. They've also got Morbius releasing here in the next month or so. And so the first 6 months of calendar year 2022 are big for Sony. And so if they can gross $200 million with this film, and then back that up with another $150 million for Morbius, which I anticipate it will make, my favorite person, Jared Leto, is a bankable star, and because Morbius is a lesser known comic book character, he is a Spider-Man villain, and because Sony is placing Morbius in their Spider-Man universe, their Venom universe, people will go see it. And so just for the anticipation that they may see, Spider-Man may pop up or Venom may pop up. So Uncharted making the money that it did is huge for Sony. And, I give it out of 5 stars. I give it a 3. It's solid. It's not great. But because the chemistry between Wahlberg and Holland is so good, I recommend going to see this, whether you see it in the theaters or when it goes to streaming. It's certainly worth the watch, and you won't find yourself bored. So now we'll you get my review for Dying Light 2: Stay Human.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Again. This time, we'll blow your head off.
Sweet. Love you too.
You better get it right. Now listen, Steve, don't try to warn anyone I'm here.
Rainer said you were a pilgrim.
None of your business.
You think your barking will make an impression on me?
Did you know a girl named Mia?
Mia? No. Who's Mia?
She's my sister.
Promise you'll never leave me alone here. Never.
I won't leave you.
Swear.
I don't have to.
Not him, no!
Long time ago, Waltz hurt her. He took her from me. And I want him to tell me where she is.
Well, that kind of information is expensive. Maybe I can help you.
Welcome to paradise.
Look around, Aiden. What do you see?
Something people outside the walls could only dream of.
Who would have thought the end of the world could be so peaceful? I wish Crane could have seen this.
Luan, it's not a sign of weakness to say you were worried.
Death is how we thank traitors. You didn't say you were working for Aider.
I don't work for Aider. I work for myself.
Here we're all infected.
So are you scared of him?
Most people are.
Those who are weak just give up.
Keep them busy.
They stop caring about anything. Give up on life. But you, you still care.
Drop him.
One move and he dies.
Drop him.
You're no leader, Kong.
On behalf of all its whores, bandits, and idiots, I christen you a citizen of Vinador.
And in the name of law, you're sentenced to death for treason.
I know what loss is like.
Talking about someone in particular?
She trusted you, and you failed her.
I'll be okay.
You'll pay for that.
Three against one? I like those odds.
Count again.
Sometimes, you have to become a monster to stay human.
Nothing could ever tear us apart anyway.
Fuck the plan. We don't know what's up there. You understand nothing.
The little boy wants to pretend he's a grown-up. A precious little boy.
One of my most anticipated games for 2022 was Dying Light 2, Stay Human, which is published and developed by Techland Studios. And they obviously developed the first one. And the first one in 2015 was one of the more underrated video game new IPs released, you know, in the last console generation. And it just it introduced a new way of playing a zombie apocalypse game. You know, the age old, zombie apocalypse caused by a virus, and you know, and in the first game they had contained it. They contained the outbreak of the zombie virus to a fictional city. It resembled a Middle East city, and you played as a character who was trying to get a cure for the virus out of the city. And you know, but it introduced parkour gameplay. It was a first person game, and it introduced parkour gameplay. And it was very fluid. It was different. It was unique, and it was a lot of fun. And you know, it had the, you know, you can pick up any weapon, and you have the weapon for however long it lasts, and then it breaks, and then you got to get a new weapon, and you can craft and create stuff. And there were guns in that game, and you could only use the gun, you know, in dire situations, because it was loud and it attracted, you know, all the zombies. And so Dying Light was a fantastic new game, and I loved it. And so when Dying Light 2 got a 2022 release date, man, I was ecstatic. And so I picked it up on the PS5, and I had peeked at some reviews, and the reviews had it at, you know, it's, you know, an 8 out of 10. And, you know, while it's expansive and it introduces a lot of new parkour elements, It also introduces some like a grappling hook and a glider. Dying Light 2 makes you. It takes place in a much bigger fictional city with skyscrapers, and you know the parkour elements are much more evolved and refined. It's a lot more fluid than the first game. Even though the first game's parkour elements were very good, you know, sometimes you'd go to jump on something and you wouldn't quite get it. And you were like, "What, bro? It's like right above you. Why can't you jump up to this thing? You're a parkour master." Here in Dying Light 2, your parkour elements are just second nature. Almost superhuman, but not quite. You're not overpowered in that aspect. And the game goes out of its way to tell you that this is how humans have stayed alive in this city for so long, is because they've all mastered parkour, the art of running and jumping and climbing, you know, over obstacles. And so the story here is that you play as Aiden, just kind of your run of the mill guy who, when he was a kid, was experimented on with concoctions trying to cure the virus. This takes place 15 years after the first one. And so this is one of the weakest aspects of the game, is that the main character here, Aiden, is meh. The voice actor's meh. The character in his story is just average. I didn't find myself caring too much about him or, you know, what he needed to do. And the main course of the game is you're trying to find your long-lost sister. You two were together as children, and then you got split up, and you're trying to find your sister now. And you find out that she may be in this other city, and you're trying to get to her. And along the way, you've got to align yourself with factions. There are multiple factions in this game. Two of the biggest ones being the Peacekeepers, which is kind of like the military in the city, and then the Survivors. And you know, one of the biggest things is you go through, and much like the first game, you have safe houses, and at night, see, in the first game, you know, at night it was just more dangerous. You had a much stronger zombies that were after you at night, and you had to, you only went out at night if you had to. In Dying Light 2, your main character, because he was experimented on as a child, he has the virus in him, the virus that turns you into a zombie, and you have to you're pretty much immune to the zombies. However, I mean, you can die, but if anybody else was to get bitten or swiped at or whatever by a zombie, they would pretty much turn. You here as this Aiden character don't have that problem. However, because you have this virus in you, you can only go out at night for so long, and then you have a timer that appears on screen when you go out at night. And the timer starts out like you have, like, I think it's 5 minutes, and then as you progress through the game and get skill points and you find meds that allow you to increase your zombie timer, I guess, you can stay out longer. And I think by the time I completed the game, the main story, I got my timer up to like 8 minutes. And so, and you can choose, you know, whether to increase your stamina, which you do have a stamina meter, and that, you know, stamina is used to climb and swing your, because it's all melee weapon. Well, it's not all melee. You do have a bow and arrow, but most of the game's weapons are melee. And so if you have a two-handed weapon, it takes more stamina to swing it as opposed to a one-handed weapon. And then when you get a paraglider or just glider, you know, you gliding also takes stamina. I think, I mean, Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild is a heavy influence here in this game, much like every other game that is made now. And so you, as you progress, you do get stamina increases and health increases. And then you do have a some skill trees to where you can increase your parkour abilities or you can increase your combat abilities. And, I found that your parkour abilities are much better than your combat abilities is because you don't necessarily need your combat ability. You don't have to engage. I mean, there are stories and story missions and side quests that require you to kill something or somebody or fight somebody. And you will need some combat skills. However, the game is built around the parkour, so the skill tree for your parkour abilities is much more important, in my opinion. But, you know, the story here is just, it's lackluster. I didn't really care about getting to my sisters because it ultimately is not important. The better story here is the survivors versus the peacekeepers and how you're going about helping either one. And sometimes you have to help both. You kind of swing back and forth. You're kind of a mercenary trying to get them each to help you get to your sister. And you end up caring more about those characters. And one of the other main characters in this game is a female by the name of Lawan. And she is played by Rosario Dawson, and who is very good. I probably should have just made her the main character here, but Rosario Dawson plays this character, Lawan. She has also got some of the virus in her. She was experimented on as a child in the same lab that you were. And so the name, you know, Dying Light 2, Stay Human, plays off of, you know, at night, your immunization meter, as it counts down, you know, once it counts down all the way, you turn for good and you're a zombie and you die. You know, you're trying to stay human. So, the game is good. It's fun. I had a lot of fun jumping from rooftop to rooftop and climbing buildings and, you know, developing my parkour abilities to where they kind of go hand in hand with your combat is because you can jump over your bad guys and swing your weapon, or you can slide into zombies while also attacking them with your weapon. And about midway through the story, the main story, is where I really found myself having fun. It was kind of more of a slog to get there, and you had to go through just some mundane story beats. But once you get the glider and you get the bow and arrow, that's when the game really unleashes itself to you, and you know, you can just kind of just run around and kill zombies or go on side quests or go hunting for, you know, new crafting materials so you can upgrade your weapons. And that's where I found myself having the most fun. And there isn't another game like this on the market right now. And, you know, Techland decided that they were going to kind of forego some of the heavier graphics in turn focusing more on, I guess, gameplay. And while I can respect that decision, I don't think that was the right decision. I don't think they needed to introduce the glider, as a mobility tool. I don't think that they needed to, you know, focus so much on the parkour abilities as an impact or an improvement from the first game. I think they could have just kept the same mechanics and kind of revamped them a little bit, but not focus so heavily on it to where they, forego upgrading the graphics. Just because if you're playing this on a PS4 Pro, you're probably pretty happy with the graphics. But playing this on the PS5, man, I'm just finding myself thinking, man, this game looks like a PS4 game. You know, what does this use other than, no loads? There's no loading in this game. That it does use the PS5 engine well there, but I'm supposed to be impressed by the graphics. That's the biggest sin of this game, in my opinion, is that it doesn't look great. It's fun and I was entertained, but it just doesn't look good. And that's my biggest gripe. And so, Horizon Forbidden West and now Elden Ring, Dying Light 2 has competition for what you're playing right now. And those other two open world games look so much better than Dying Light 2. And so while Dying Light 2 does have its uniqueness and the things it can offer that these other games cannot, man, I'm playing Horizon Forbidden West and I'm going, holy crap, this game looks amazing. While some people aren't, graphics snobs and, looking for that, man, I have an expensive TV that is capable of producing, this graphical output and showcasing it. And, I'm playing on the PS5, which, is supposed to be this high end engine. And Techland decided that they weren't going to showcase that. And that's disappointing in my opinion. So I'm going to give the game probably a 7.5, 8 out of 10. It's fun. It's entertaining. However, you're not going to remember much about it once you're not playing it anymore. And unfortunately, there's better looking games that tell a better story. And so while the uniqueness does win at some points, it's not going to be game of the year. And so pick it up if you've never played the Dying Light franchise. It's still worth playing and experiencing, but there are better games out currently right now that can occupy your time. So yeah, that's my review for Dying Light 2. Stay Human, played on the PS5. I put about 50 hours into it. So if you want to get at the podcast, you can find Budget Arcade on all your social media platforms at Budget Arcade and at Budget Arcade Games. If you would like to support the podcast, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/budgetarcade, and you can donate some money to the pod, help us stay afloat. You can also purchase some t-shirts. We have a couple different designs, and you can catch the links in the show notes for that, and we do appreciate your support. And you can join our Discord channel, our Discord server, Budge Arcade. We have designated listeners we have a pretty good following there, and we would be happy to have you, new listener, new friend of the pod. What are we playing next week? Vagante. We're playing Vagante on the I'm playing it on PS5. But make sure you're tuning in for our review there. That's one of our first non-free-to-play reviews, and so we're excited about that. Make sure you've got us bookmarked there. And our music is provided by Stimage. You can find his music at metroidmetal.com, and we'll catch you next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.